The information contained in this episode is for informational purposes only. No material is intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Hey, Javier, how are you?
Not too bad.
Good, good. Very excited for today's show.
Yes, it should be a good one. Should be a good one. All right, so I guess we should start with introductions, right?
Let's get it rolling.
Okay, so welcome to Informed Life Radio, brought to you by the Washington Chapter of Children's Health Defense. I am your host, Dr. Javier Figueroa, and also a co-host today is Bob Runnels.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, well, I'm glad that we can both fill in for Bernadette as she goes and does her work. I think she's in Washington or on the way to Washington.
Oh, no. She's on her way to someplace in Tennessee, big family trip. So anyway, we're happy to fill in and she's got a very important event happening. So hopefully we can carry on without her for at least one day.
Perfect. Well, let's go and make sure that we can get everything checked off the list that Bernadette gave us. The views expressed are not necessarily those of Children's Health Defense or KKNW. And again, this is KKNW, 1150 AM. This is an Informed Life Radio. We're not giving medical advice or legal advice. So please see a qualified doc advisor, either a physician or a legal. We're not giving any medical advice. So just hang in there. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be informative. Now, this show is entirely funded by donations from listeners. If you valid free speech on the air, please visit washingtonwa.childrenshealthdefense.org and donate today, because we can only do this with your help. So with that, I don't know. Should we bring on Dr. Sarah Kottlerman? Did I
know your name? Nice to see you.
Hi, Dr. Sarah. Thanks for coming.
Hi. You're welcome. Let's get into it. So this is the third part of a three-part series on chiropractic. And this last part is specifically going to look at what action steps, what strategy do you have if you find yourself in a health crisis? Sometimes these things come out of the blue. You are riding along life. You are busy paying bills, doing job things, family things, and then suddenly you're facing a big name diagnosis. What are your options then? And if you choose chiropractic management, what could that potentially look like? So that's going to be what we get into today on this next hour.
Okay. Thanks, Sarah. So where are you practicing these days, or what's your organization? Let's tell everybody that first.
Perfect. So I'm the clinical director here with Avario Health Institute. We're in Mount Vernon, Washington. We see patients from all over the world. As the treatment modality that we offer is unique, we are seeing people for 5 days at a time for what is called concentrated chiropractic care. So patients are coming and we are doing a lot with them in a space of 5 days from a testing and a treatment perspective. My demographic specifically is concentrated in complex cases.
Sorry about that. I was trying to see if we could pull up and put your the Institute's website on there. But again, chiropractic science and chiropractic medicine is one of the several branches of medical treatment that are now available. And you've really taken chiropractic medicine to the next level in terms of applying one of the more scientifically rigorous methods I've seen for any medical treatment, including allopathic medicine and naturopathic medicine. So one of the things that most people associate with chiropractic medicine is with bone manipulation. Is that correct?
That is an assumption. And right. It's probably not very accurate to the large body of chiropractic professionals. There's been a big trend within the chiropractic field in the last several decades to move towards more gentle and specific adjustments. When we talk about manipulations, that's a much wide, wider open gate.
Right.
You can, as a medical doctor, go do a weekend seminar and have the legal right to manipulate. That is not showing the same kind of response neurologically as a chiropractic adjustment. In fact, last month when we did part two, we went over a study that was recently done by one of my colleagues, Heidi Havoc, down in New Zealand. And they did a study comparing an adjustment to an adjustment, but the difference was the adjustment done on an abnormal spinal segment. So it turns out that not only the type of treatment that, you know, the technique of the adjustment matters, but it actually matters that you do it in the right area. And I don't think this is well understood. You've got people and medical professionals, which is really scary, who think a chiropractic adjustment is being hit with a bat in the back of the neck. And as long as we get a pop and a crack, we're good. We've accomplished the goal. The reality is there are hundreds of chiropractic techniques that do not require nor are trying to elicit any kind of gaseous release from the joints, the popping or the cracking. So for my patients who are coming on site, we pretty much exclusively use sustained force, directional techniques. This is leaving a very gentle force on the spine until the brain has recognized that force and made a correction. The goal is to get the central nervous system regulating correctly. And we back it up with a beefy amount of pre and post testing because that's where the money's at. It's you want to be able to see how systems are changing, how images are changing, not just seeing a functional change or a symptomatic change.
See, now that right there is so critical because feedback is such an essential component of understanding whether or not something works or doesn't work. And one of the things that, if I remember correctly from the last presentation that you gave here on an Informed Life Radio, you really have a very intensive, concentrated form of therapy that really provides effective treatment.
Yeah, and it's taking chiropractic care to a unique demographic. Right now, we just finished a week of care. Patients are actually finishing up testing as we're having this conversation. And we had a group from Pennsylvania, a group from Virginia, and a group from South Seattle. They came the distance because they could get so much done in a short amount of time. And that's of great value. Sometimes when you find yourself in a health crisis, you don't have the luxury of moving slowly. Right. You need to get tests done. You need the right tests done. You need to work with providers who have some experience in how to move quickly on a complicated case. And then you need to have the opportunity to actually get enough care to kind of get yourself caught up. Disease, dysfunction, abnormal aging, these don't happen on accident. There is always something physically wrong with body, even within the realm of mental illness. And this is another area where there is so much misconception because we have this idea that mental illness is something like out here, away from the body. The brain is an organ. It needs things in order to work correctly. One of the most important things the brain needs to work correctly is normal spinal alignment and motion. This is critical. And it's not being passed down to the general public. They're clueless. They think when they go in and get a chiropractic adjustment, that's supposed to do something with their pain. It really isn't for your pain. You might get great results with your pain, but it's not for your pain. It is to repair normal mechanoreception, proprioception, and stimulus to your brain. And that consequence of a chiropractic adjustment, that carries over past the treatment moment. So one of the interesting things we'll see with our patients, because we provide a lot of care in 5 days, and then we send them home for a period of time. So it's 1, 2, 3, 6 months until they are back for their next push of regenerative care. If we run tests, even if they receive no more chiropractic care, their bodies, their systems, their vitals continue to improve in the time they are away from the office, even with no further treatment done. it's starting a push towards normal regeneration cycles. And a patient can get back to where their body functions normally and naturally without provider care. It has to do with putting that initial commitment into getting things to normal.
Interesting. So it sounds like you're there to basically guide or remove blocks in the body from healing as part of your training.
Exactly. In fact, we cover that on Monday morning with patients. There are three primary interferences to the central nervous system that causes disease: spinal damage, nutritional deficiency, toxicity. Focus on those three things: spinal damage, nutritional deficiency, toxicity. If you have a health problem and you are listening to this right now, go ask yourself, do I have objective tests that tell me, do I have spinal damage? Do I have nutritional deficiencies? Do I have toxicities in my system? Most likely your health problem is coming from your body trying to go help, help, help from you having a block in one or all of those areas.
Now that is such a misunderstood part of chiropractic medicine that it bears repeating that, you know, spinal, nutritional, and toxic removal are critical components to move forward to achieve health. And in terms of that, I know that this is something just a little bit outside of the scope, but in terms of parasitic infections, is that something that you consider toxicity or nutritional? Under what category would you cover that? Because I know it's a little bit...
I would probably put parasites under toxicity, to be honest. Most of the time, I mean, very, very high amounts of the time, when a patient comes to me and they usually from their naturopath going, I have been doing the dance with parasites. Here's all my 15 stool tests. You know, here's where it's gotten better. Here's where it's gone worse. Here's my bucket of supplements. Typically, what gets missed there is there have been no spinal x-rays. And if there have been spinal x-rays, they have not been analyzed. Your vagus nerves are two nerves that come off of the brainstem and they come superficial of the spine here in the front of the throat. And they do 75% of the neurological interference to heart and gut. These are incredibly important nerves that can be shut off and compromised by abnormal neck posture and alignment. If you've got damaged vagus nerves, the gut environment will become more susceptible to parasitic infection. The other thing that will make the gut environment more susceptible is if it gets inflamed. There is very few things on the face of the earth that will cause more chronic, huge amounts of abnormal inflammation than getting heavy metals or environmental chemicals or mycotoxins in your system. So parasites, I don't get too excited about parasites. I have found that most of the time, if you deal with the vagus nerves and you deal with the toxicity, parasites naturally resolve without having to do a cleanse. And that's no hate on people or providers who are doing cleanses. In my experience, it has not been necessary. Getting the toxicity element out of the system and repairing vagus nerve dysfunction has been the necessary components to get the parasites out of the body.
Interesting. Interesting. Bob, do you have any questions that you want to ask?
Well, I'm curious on the history of this particular course of having a concentrated set of chiropractic care. It sounds like detox. It sounds like a detox session. And you did mention toxicity. So I just wondered if for how long has this idea of doing this concentrated 5-day type set of sessions come around? Did you invent it or did somebody else propose
this? No, I cannot take credit for inventing this methodology of care. I have the pleasure of standing on tall shoulders. My father, Dr. Avery Martin, invented this methodology of care. And that was about 12, 15 years ago. The Institute's been around for 12 to 13 years taking care of patients. And Bob, the primary reason why this was brought to fruition was we've always seen great results with chiropractic care. But at some point in time, there was a conversation of why are the options that patients are getting is one time a week or two times a week or three times a week? Most chiropractors, if they are actually in clinical practice, will have cases that they they see, and they look at, usually it's these little kids. It's usually, it's really, really weak female cases, but we look at these cases and we go, man, this person needs to be adjusted more than once a day.
Wow.
And if you have an office where you're seeing people, they're coming in for a single treatment, then they're leaving, those people will just hang out in the waiting room. You'll go, hey, you're moving into the waiting room because you need to, what you need is to be adjusted more than once a day. But this is not something that's supported by insurance.
Right.
It's not supported by mainstream models at all. But as a provider, when you become a chiropractor, you do it to help people, specifically to help them in a non-surgery, non-pharmaceutical method of healthcare. So I could name off probably 50 doctors who have done what I just suggested. They'll have somebody camp out in their waiting room for days or weeks, getting multiple adjustments a day, even if they are not getting paid. And at some point in time, that became a question of, well, do we need a model of care that gives somebody the opportunity of more than one adjustment a day? Not something that we're just going to squeeze you into an already busy office, but that is the focus. The focus is multiple adjustments a day. And we have very, very excellent chiropractic studies that show that a single chiropractic adjustment will change brain function. We have studies showing prefrontal cortex function changing, somatomechanic function, cerebral, lots of excellent studies on that. And we kind of started to ask a question of, okay, if a single chiropractic adjustment will change brain function, then could a series of chiropractic adjustments actually change tissue regeneration? Because in my mind, as a non-pharmaceutical provider, that the top of the pyramid, the ultimate goal is, can you actually anti-age tissue? Can you provide something to the patient that goes from arthritis to no arthritis, to from bone fusion to no bone fusion, from arterial stenosis to no arterial stenosis? Can you see on imaging that the tissue has gone through a regeneration cycle and has higher integrity than it had previously? In my mind, that is so much more important than, do we have a diagnosis and do we not have a diagnosis now? Because you cannot have a diagnosis and still be very unhealthy in this country. That is very possible. You can be on the tippy toes with a lot of dysfunction, a lot of pain, and not have the major diagnosis yet and still have a very low quality of life. So that has been the research question with the experiment that has been Avero Health Institute. If we gave people the opportunity, these chronic, complex cases that are not going to get served anywhere else, that are falling through the cracks of our medical system, if we gave them the opportunity of 50, 60, 70 chiropractic adjustments in a short period of time, could you see a response? Could you see a functional response, a response with tissue? What would that look like? And what we're finding is it's looking really good, to the point where we have patients who are coming out from all these different states because they know somebody in their group whose arthritis went away. And along with all of the other symptomology and diagnoses that was connected to that spinal damage. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. What's amazing is that you offer such a unique and different form of treatment, because normally medical treatment is 15, 20 minutes with a general practitioner prescription, and then either you go off to a specialist or a physical therapy or whatever. You're talking about a very intense regimen of hands-on.
Correct. We do 6 hours of concentrated care a day. It's incredibly intensive. And because of that, we only see a very small amount of patients. We have a small group of patients that we see for the week. And we are doing testing on Monday, testing on Friday, and we are expecting to see significant body changes at the end of those 5 days.
And again, you do it without the use or the reliance on pharmaceuticals or medical device interventions. You do it because you know that basically you can affect an outcome that is both stimulating to health and relieves pain in many cases.
If you're looking for the most sustainable way to move forward with your health, That is with integrity in your own body. It is not on a reliance of pharmaceuticals. It is not on a reliance of artificial parts, whether that be animal-based or mechanical-based. The best way for your body to function is how it was naturally designed. Another talking point that we need to be putting into every informed consent for every medical procedure, patients need to understand that their body was designed with regeneration cycles. And some of them are incredibly aggressive. So one of the examples that we talk about with patients on site is the small intestine. Small intestine, it can be 20, 22, 23 feet long. Yet the regeneration cycle that we've observed from a medical perspective is 4 to 5 days. 4 to 5 days for a brand new small intestine. Yet if we went to the Google right now and pushed in how many Americans are struggling with small intestine dysfunction or disease, you'd find a number in the millions. And right. I guarantee none of them were told by their medical providers, oh, hey, you know what? If you just got your central nervous system working a little bit better, your problem would be gone in under a week. And that is quite real. It's quite real. We've seen some very weird stuff. I mean, stuff that if there was a reality TV show that could just follow us around the office, it would be game changing for the medical paradigm. I've had some patients with out of control small intestine cancer. And we do not treat cancer. I don't treat cancer. Nobody on my team treats cancer. We are not oncologists, but we see patients who have the diagnosis of cancer, not for the purpose of treating it. Okay. And we have seen these patients go through our concentrated chiropractic care. And within a few days to the next week, they're filling up toilet bowls full of tissue samples that look a whole lot like tumors. And when they go back to their oncologist and they run scans, they go, oh, this is kind of interesting. A lot of your tumors are gone. And they explain what happened in the toilet bowl. These tissues have regeneration cycles. Your heart has a regeneration cycle, your eye tissue regeneration cycle, brain cells regeneration cycle, skin regeneration cycle, blood cells regeneration cycle. Your body was designed to be in a constant 24/7 healing pattern. The problem is when that gets interfered with. And then we're back to that talking point, Xavier, of what's interfering, what's causing an interference in the body's own ability to go through regeneration cycles. Look to spinal damage, nutritional deficiency, toxicity. Rule those three things out before you cut anything off, if at all possible, because you never make a body full of more integrity by doing a pharmaceutical or surgical procedure. That's not to say that there probably aren't moments where that needs to be done, but it is moving that person towards a greater sense of health and integrity. That's like an emergency thing. We got to do this for emergency reasons. You still have to address what stopped them from healing in the first place.
Interesting. Now, because of this, you have such a high intensity, such a concentrated therapeutic intervention with your patients. I imagine that you work with a team, or is this something that you work all by yourself in doing this?
Oh, no, absolutely not. I have a wonderful team. And I am hiring. So if you're a doctor of chiropractic and you want to work in this realm of work, reach out to me. Yes, we have a team of multiple doctors of chiropractic. We have a nurse on staff. We've got multiple doctor's assistants. We got a whole food plant-based chef. We've got several testing departments with people running those. We have a whole team of people here who are ready to help.
And in terms of the protocols that you use, the Institute also provides education as well.
Correct. And this is one of those interesting things that you will find if you study some PubMed literature. If patients understand, if they understand how their body works, a basic understanding of how their body works and what the treatment outcomes are supposed to look like, what you're doing, why you're doing it, if you can answer some of those basic questions for patients, there are studies showing that improves outcomes up to 25%. We are all about improving outcomes for our patients. The goal of care at Avero Health Institute is not a symptomatic change. It is an underlying tissue change. getting that person back to as near normal as possible integrity. It doesn't matter how old they are. We've seen some amazing things happen in patients in their 90s, as far as calcium coming out of thyroid glands and reversal of arthritis and things along those lines. So that's an important piece to it.
The more I learn about how the brain body axis affects even the immune system, the more I realize that, you know, we really need to rethink how we apply treatment and health. How many patients do you think do you treat a year through the Institute?
New patients?
Yes.
Taking into account that most of our patients require more than one week of care, we probably have a max capacity of 200 new patients a year. And we're very, very close to not having a max capacity for new patients at all. We're going to get very close to a point where in this facility here in Washington State, we're only going to be able to take a new patient once we've gotten a current patient to a point where they no longer need care.
Wow. Effective therapies and effective treatments require a more concentrated hands-on approach that really takes care of the individual, not a cookie cutter approach that is currently applied in the medical industry. This is just a question that, you know, if you don't feel the need to answer, please don't. How do you think you can replicate the Institute and the approach they have in the Institute to basically go and, in essence, franchise out of Washington into other areas?
I actually think it will be quite easy to do. It is about training and education and perspective. It's about taking doctors of chiropractic who are interested in this model of care and having them go through the necessary post-doctoral training, education, and perspective. Chiropractors have always been looking at this puzzle. This is just a little bit different way about going about the puzzle. I think a transition to multiple facilities will actually be very easy.
Interesting. Okay. So it is scalable. Sorry, go ahead, Bob.
Yeah. Do you find, Dr. Sarah, that you're getting patients who come to you with their last wish almost? It's like they've tried everything else and they're going to go try this intensive chiropractic therapy. Or do you find people coming in with more mild conditions maybe, or just trying to get that last little problem figured out?
I see primarily two types of patients. Initially, Bob, you were 100% right. We saw last ditch effort kind of deals. We saw people who would walk through the door and kind of cynically or sarcastically say, I have tried everything. And the crazy thing is they have tried everything. And yet when we asked them about objective testing, it was relatively minimal or non-existent. And if you're dealing with a chronic health issue that you would like to resolve, spend your focus and your time on getting the right test done first. Don't go gunslinging into treatment modalities. Get testing done first. Regardless of what type of provider or what type of treatment you want to pursue, get imaging and testing done first. It will clarify the case. And your doctor should be able to sit across from you with your test results and explain to you how your test results are causing the breakdown in your body. And that's not a God complex. You should be able to understand how certain physical or chemical or functional neurology issues are causing a symptomatic outcome. That's a reasonable expectation for a doctor. And nowadays, from the medical perspective, more and more medical doctors are refusing to read basic labs. That's a challenge. If you don't know how to check an omega-3, omega-6 panel, you need to do a little online Google search when you get home at night. There needs to be some responsibility towards the reading and interpreting of basic medical tests if you're in the field of providing healthcare. So we used to see a lot of last ditch kind of effort patients. That really has changed in the last several years. We now have patients who do not want to have any kind of drugs or surgery modifications at any point in time in their life. So they are coming to get those three areas fixed so that they do not. We still see a fair amount of people who are in health crises. They have the cancer diagnosis. They have the stage three diabetes or the type three diabetes diagnosis, which is more and more common these days, ever since the 2020 and 2021 issues. But we see people with really complex, rare diagnoses. I see at least two patients a month where I'm pretty sure they just spun the DSM 5 around and picked a diagnosis, like some rare thing. And the patient's always really impressed. They go, well, this is a one in 50 million diagnosis. And there's no testing that's been done. And so I go, how did they arrive at this? Well, they took some information. We talked about the symptoms, but there's still been no testing done. Right. So we're seeing patients now who are going, they're coming through the door going, I want to fix my spine back to normal. And we're seeing multiple generations in the same family. So where we may have started with the primary generation, now the grandparents are coming through and the kids are coming through, because our patient base is realizing that everything is easier and better if you go through life with a healthy nervous system. So they're choosing that as their health care. That was a long answer to your question, Bob. Did it come across clearly? Okay.
It did. I'm sure it's more complex than just my question, though. So thank you.
Now, the one thing that really impressed me last time was that you made the comment and you showed evidence that you could regenerate disc, spinal disc. And for me, that was a revelation, because I always thought that a spinal disc was, once you lost it, you couldn't regain it back. And you were showing that basically, yeah, you can do that. I mean, I've heard horror stories of people getting a spinal fusion disc, you know, vertebral fusion to correct an issue. And it's a crapshoot. Sometimes, you know, they find some relief. Most of the time, it just makes it worse.
A lot of times when patients have spinal damage and they have pain, that is a much more complex issue than just this damage causing pressure on this nerve. It's a lot more complex. We see this a lot with low back pain cases. Low back pain is an epidemic in this country. It affects millions and millions and millions of people. And come over to Avario, Bob, you'll get that fixed out. But it very rarely, this is really important, very rarely is the problem in the low back. If you look at the central nervous system, I'm going to get a little nerdy right now, but if you look at the central nervous system, the thickest piece in the spine is actually at C1, which is right behind the ears. You've got the bottom part of the brainstem inside the first bone of the spine. And then you've got spinal cord. That is one piece of tissue, right? One piece of tissue. Spinal cord going from C2, the second bone of the spine, all the way down to the upper part of the lumbar spine, L1 or L2. It is much more easy to damage that than it is to damage something in the lumbar spine. In the lumbar spine, you get the cauda quina. This is hundreds, if not thousands, of tiny, tiny nerve fibers. It is very hard to physically, structurally injure the lumbar spine to cause lumbar pain. 99% of the time when people have lumbar pain, chronic low back pain, they have damage in the neck and right. The brain is pushing that inflammation out of the neck because of the neurology of the neck. And it is pushing it down the spine, and it is pooling because we sit too much as a culture. It's pooling in the lumbar spine. It is that inflammatory pooling that will cause sensory nerves to fire and get upset. So when a person goes ahead and they've got degenerative disc and they've got some gunky stuff in their low back and they get surgery and it does nothing for their pain, it's because we haven't even got close to addressing why they have pain. All you've gone in is do some modification to the adaption the body's going through for that chronic inflammation. You haven't actually gotten to the root cause. No one should be allowed to do lumbar surgery without taking a picture of the neck first, because this is going to be the primary in most cases.
Interesting.
Yeah. Interesting.
Now, Yeah, sorry, go ahead, Bob.
I'm just adding that it was interesting as well. Just, I mean, it's almost like referred pain, where I remember some of the science classes I would take, then they talk about it. You could poke somebody on this side of their head and they might feel it and elsewhere in their body.
There you go.
Well, this is where chiropractic philosophy is so important. We have something that's called innate intelligence. This is the expectation that the body knows how to heal various tissues. And you experience innate intelligence every day. Think about whatever you just ate for lunch. You're not sitting there thinking about how to break it down and digest it. Your body is doing that for you. Your body does all these hundreds of thousands of processes for you every day. Innate intelligence can be disrupted when there is spinal damage, toxicity, or nutritional deficiencies. That's where that perspective is so important. And we need to bring that perspective into a conversation about inflammation, because innate intelligence, your brain, can move inflammation around, and it will as a survival strategy. When you're damaged, when there are parts that are broken, your body is going to try to make the best adaptations to abnormal it can to allow you the most function. That is something we see across the board, irregardless of male, female, age, demographic, ethnicity. Your brain's always going to be making that best decision to try to adapt.
Interesting. Now, you mentioned that you have some cases that you want to go over to basically give us a deeper understanding of what you're capable of and some of the conditions that you see. So why don't we go ahead and do that? And for those that are listening and not watching, we have some x-rays of spines, and I'll let Dr. Sarah go ahead and tell us what she's showing us.
A picture is worth 1,000 words. And if it's an x-ray, it's probably even worth more than that. So let's get into this. What you can see on the left side is a normal neck. If you're not familiar with how a neck is supposed to look on an x-ray, it is supposed to have a gentle C curve. That curve is what protects you under gravity. We are always under gravity, and the neck is the piece between this heavy, big brain head and the rest of our torso. Most of the time when people get into concussive injuries, traumatic brain injuries, and they are not responding well, what's been missed is the neck has been damaged in those cases. And that's why the brain is not responding post-injury. The neck's really important. It has 7 bones in it. So you've got C1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And inside those bones is your central nervous system, both the lower part of the brainstem and a portion of your spinal cord. So when the neck is damaged, when it is an abnormal alignment, this compromises central nervous system function. This is the tissue that lets you run all the rest of the tissues in your body. So let's look at a couple of cases that were written off by lots of doctors before they got to a Avera Health Institute. What you're looking at here on the right, this is the neck of a 65-year-old female with a 30-year history of chronic depression. Okay, so here's the primary, chronic depression. Secondary concerns, she was self-diagnosed as a sugar addict, constantly eating white sugar, couldn't stop eating white sugar, and chronic migratory joint pain. This is a great example of how the body will move inflammation around. If you look at the spine, you can see that we've got a nasty area between C4 and C5. What that's called, the diagnosis on that, is an area of ligament instability. The ligaments on the posterior, on the backside of the spine, got torn. This happened an extremely long time ago, because at this point in time, it's actually fused. There is calcium connecting C4 and C5. They are two joints that is now one bone, and it's happened below at C5 and C6.
Interesting. Okay.
So here is kind of what we're looking at. Here's all of the spinal findings. Now, in her 30 years of depression, multiple suicide events, multiple drug therapies, multiple trying different therapies, no one had ever imaged her neck. In my mind, that is crazy. that nobody ever imaged her neck to see if there was not spinal damage in the neck where all these important nerves are that could be causing or contributing to the dysfunction in her system. Some of the secondary issues caused by this type of spinal damage, one of the important ones to point out is one area of ligament instability in the spine will cause a 25 to 28% whole body impairment. That has been the American Medical Association guidelines since the third issue of the guidelines back in the 1960s.
Wow.
We are chronically seeing patients with multiple areas of spinal ligament instability. It is becoming more and more common. And these areas where the ligaments get torn, stretched, do not develop, that's compromising central nervous function and it's causing health problems. The only way to know if that's going on is with x-rays, analyzed spinal x-rays. Another thing you can see here is her jaw. See right. These two lines here? Look yeah. How much jaw tilt there is. Because the nervous system is abnormal at C1 and C2, her perception of reality is like this. So when we take the x-ray and those x-ray beams come across here, you are getting both sides of the jaw showing up on the film. That's a huge amount of lateral translation of the head. We could spend a whole hour talking about how that lateral translation on the head compromises somebody's ability to be healthy.
Absolutely.
Okay. This is a great graph. So what you're seeing, if you're just listening to this, this is a graph showing how nerves communicate in the body. There are nerves in your brain that have the job of regulating. They regulate every other tissue in the body. The reason that the spine is important is 95% of all the signals leaving your brain go through your spine. So having any type of spinal abnormality or damage is like having a 15-car pileup on the I-5. Will traffic still get through? Yes, but not very well. You'll still get neurological signals through, but not very well. And tissues are going to become abnormal because of it. The other part that's important is to understand that there are nerve cells and receptor cells in your tissues that have the job of reporting back to the brain. And this is the primary way the brain stays healthy. So if a doctor or someone in healthcare has ever told you, take your shoes off, walk on the sand, walk barefoot, they are on the right track. When joints move, they stimulate more signals to go back up through your spinal column to keeping your brain healthy. These are normal things. One of the worst things you can do for your body is stay seated all day. Oh, our man. Bodies are designed to move, and there is a neurological reason for that. All right, so here's what we did with this patient. She flew in from another state. We did 41 low-force chiropractic adjustments, as well as a lot of other modalities to support the 41 chiropractic adjustments. And here is the response after 5 days of concentrated chiropractic care. We went from a fusion between C4 and C5 to a lack of a fusion between C4 and C5. We went from a fusion at C5 to C6 to a lack of fusion at C5, C6, and there is substantial disc regeneration between C4 and C5. Here's a close-up.
Look at that. So on the image where you had the calcification between C4 and C5 and C5 and C6 and C6 and C7, there's now openings. There's now distinct vertebra.
Correct.
Visualized.
And this was done within 5 days.
That's amazing. That is amazing. Unheard of, actually, in standard allopathic treatments.
I don't necessarily. Sorry.
Our idea of how the body can heal and how quickly we can expect a response from the body.
Are we seeing a more vertical or an approach to normal curvature in this picture now? Or am I just imagining that?
Correct. You are seeing more normal curvature. If you look up at the top here, the green line represents normal. That is the goal. If the world was perfect, when we take care of spines, a patient wouldn't stop until the red line was back on the green line, because this is where the brain can best, most normally control signals going down through the spine to the rest of the body. So you can see here that the green line is not even contacting the back of the atlas on the pre-image. On the post-image, you can see we are contacting the back of the atlas. So with that change here in the lower part of the spine, you have gotten some regeneration of normal curve. But this is a case where even though there's some amazing things happening here, there is more work that needs to be done to get the red line back to the green line.
Yeah, still amazing in just a short amount of time. 5 days is just incredible.
We're looking at how bodies respond. Now, you could not see this change if you didn't run tests. Pre and post tests are incredibly important. Here's what symptomatically changed for the patient. So she had a reversal of the fusion, regeneration of the disc. 6 weeks post this 1 week of chiropractic care, she called and let us know that she no longer had any depression symptomology. She just woke up. And it was gone. 30 years of carrying it, and it was gone. Now, I will say very quickly before the phone starts going off the hooks, because people think we have a magic cure. That is not how this works, ladies and gentlemen. This is not a cure for depression. And we see a lot of patients who have depression symptomologies, and it is very rare that it happens in this way. Most of the time, it gradually backs off. But about one in every 10 cases we see, it will happen like this. They will wake up and they have a different mental capacity than they had the night before. And if we had the resources of University of Washington or Harborview, we could probably be running functional MRIs and find out why that is occurring like that in 10% of cases. What we do know is there is a big correlation between spinal damage and a patient presenting with depression symptoms. And when you fix spinal damage, that has a great impact in changing that symptomology.
So this is something that needs to be repeated, is that when you're talking about depression, you're talking about a cluster of symptoms associated with a particular outcome. And that's also important, because what you were saying about brain-body interface and feedback, for example, diabetes, some cases might be miscommunication between the central nervous system and a feedback system for the pancreatic islet cells, and in some cases, even some other organ systems.
Correct.
So, yeah. Okay, very interesting. Very interesting. Now, this is an incredibly dramatic case, and I'm sure you probably have several case reports, several case histories that show similar results.
Yes. Yes, this is not a standalone case. We have seen many cases of fusions reversing, many cases of disc regeneration, even from no noticeable disc line on the pre-X-ray. In fact, one of our cases that will likely publish next year is going to be very likely a full reversal of ankylosing spondylitis. And they started with 12 fusions. We are down to 2 fusions at this time. So I have X-rays showing the progression and reversal from 12 fusions on this particular case.
Wow. And with 12 fusions, was that person even mobile?
No.
In which section of the body were the fusions?
Lower thoracic and upper lumbar.
That is just amazing to go from that to having just 2 fusions to work with. And I'm guessing that the person's now more mobile.
Correct. Wow. They can now walk 2 miles a day.
Wow. That is incredible. Now, and this is just a personal interest of mine. Do you work with injured veterans or injured armed service members?
Absolutely. I love taking care of veterans. And there are really, really good results to be gained. If you're dealing with post-war injuries, PTSD, realize that a lot of that is damaged brain stuff. And by getting your spine fixed, your brain will change in how it's wanting to respond to the environment, both internally and externally.
That's amazing. And I'm glad to hear that you're seeing good outcomes with injured veterans. because again, I don't think the VA even knows how to spell chiropractic.
Xavier, if the VA wanted to get serious about helping veterans, they could call me tomorrow, free up $100 million, a facility, and let me put doctors of chiropractic in there. We start treating veterans with these methods, and within 5 years, we would have a very, very different outcome of injured veterans. It does take time. There is a time aspect to this, but there is no reason. Most of the stuff we are struggling with is because there's nothing that can be done under a drug and surgery model. It is not right. Because the body cannot heal and regenerate.
Now, what's interesting is, not interesting. You've hit on a very important point, which is resources and having the ability to apply those resources effectively. And right now the model is the medical care model. I shouldn't even say it's a medical care model. It's a sickness care model where you are basically masking symptoms. So again, why don't we move on to the next cases that you want to present?
So just really quickly for anybody who's listening to this, this case was published internationally, the one on the depression, and you can read every step of everything that was done for this person, including the images. It's all free access. You can get it at the Australian Spinal Research Foundation research page or off of the Avario Health Institute international case study page. There is great benefit in being able to spend some time with a case study and with images, especially if you are dealing with depression yourself. Go see how it has been successful for other people. There's great value in that. So I have got two more cases because I don't want to look like a one trick pony here. And I want to show you how we see tissue regeneration in very different cases. So here's two more. Both of these other cases have been accepted for international publication, but the cases are not out yet. So here is a case of a 76-year-old male. The x-ray on the right is a 76-year-old male. Primary concern is low back pain. Secondary concern, which was really his wife's concern, was that he was not aging well, was grumpy, loss of interest, and consistently irritable. And from a hardcore objective medical perspective, that probably doesn't translate super well. But from a life quality perspective, it translates extremely well. Right now, there's probably many people listening to this who feel like their spouse has changed as they've aged, that they are not the same person. And that could very well be a breakdown in the prefrontal cortex of the brain and could be something that could be changed by concentrated chiropractic care. So let's go real quickly through this. Oh, this is so good. I'm going to spend 20 seconds on this study right here. Alterations of cervical nerve root function during different seated positions. This study was done by CBP, Chiropractic Biophysics, another great group that publishes a lot of literature. But this study shows that if the center of your ear comes forward of the center of your shoulders by 1 inch, it's going to negatively affect nerve function in both volume and amplitude. This is changing. I mean, just posture's changing.
Amazing. We're wrapping up. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, thanks again to Dr. Sarah, Avario Health Institute. My name's Javier Figueroa. I want to thank you for listening in. Bob, thank you again for being part of this and being the co-host on this. And if you want to learn more, go to Avario Health Institute. And we'll catch you, everyone else, on the next hour. So come and join us there. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
During this unprecedented response to an infection outbreak, it has been made very clear that shutting down lives and businesses is not sustainable or repeatable. We've also learned that it's unnecessary. Treatments exist and always exist. For 99% of the population, nutrients and oxidative therapies that support the immune system and improve symptoms are always available to address viral infections. For the less than 1% who need more, inexpensive, unpatentable drugs can be added to the nutrient therapies to improve outcomes. It's time each and every one of us empower ourselves with this knowledge. We need not ever bring our lives to a halt again. We can both save lives and retain the liberty that nourishes us body and soul. Learn more at healthyimmunitynow.org. That's healthyimmunitynow.org.
Children's Health Defense is a nonprofit organization with a mission to end childhood health epidemics by working aggressively to eliminate harmful exposures, hold those responsible accountable, and establish safeguards to prevent future harm. The Washington chapter of Children's Health Defense is stepping up at the state and local levels, but we can't do this without you. Join us at wa.childrenshealthdefense.org. Let's restore and defend children's health and their futures in Washington State.
The information contained in this episode is for informational purposes only. No material is intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.